Well, we're continuing tonight on our teaching, the last 7 days, and we got that from a prophecy of Kenneth Hagin, a vision that Kenneth Hagin had back in September 2nd, 1950, concerning the end times about the United States, specifically as a prophecy about our country in the end times. And we're going to go on tonight in looking into this area concerning things about this prophecy, because it is important to know if this prophecy is in line with Scripture, what the Bible says. It has to be in line with what Scripture says. And so we're going to read it again, the part of it. We didn't read through the whole thing of it before, but this section that we're reading and we're looking at to examine Scripture-wise to see if this is speaking along the same line. Now, I'm going to start where we did before in the reading is, and it was this, in this vision, Kenneth Hagin was handed a scroll which he read. And it starts off and says, the scroll was written in the first person, and it seemed as if Jesus himself were speaking. He said, I read, America is receiving her last call. Some nations already have received their last call and will never receive another. Then in large print it said, the time of the end of all things is at hand. This statement was repeated 4 or 5 times. Jesus also said this was the last great revival. He went on to say, all the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation in the church of these last days, and the church will do greater things than even the early church did. It will have greater power, signs, and wonders than were recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. He said that we have seen and experienced many healings, but we will now behold amazing miracles that have not been seen before. Jesus continued, more and more miracles will be performed in the last days, which are just ahead, for it is time for the gifts of the working of miracles to be more in prominence. We now have entered into the area of the miraculous. Many of my own people will not accept the moving of my Spirit and will turn back and will not be ready to meet me at my coming. Many will be deceived by false prophets and miracles of satanic origin, but follow the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and me, and you will not be deceived. I am gathering my own together and am preparing them, for the time is short. There were several other exhortations to watchfulness, to awaken and pray and not be deceived. Then I read, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it, the coming of the Son of Man be. And as I spoke to Noah and said, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made I will destroy from off the face of the earth. So today I am speaking and giving America her last warning and call to repentance. And the time that is left is comparable to the last 7 days of Noah's time. Warn this generation as did Noah his generation, for judgment is about to fall, and these sayings shall be fulfilled shortly, for I am coming soon, Jesus repeated. This is the last revival. I am preparing my people for my coming. Judgment is coming, but I will call my people away even unto myself before the worst shall come. But be thou faithful, watch and pray, for the time of the end of all things is at hand. Now tonight we're going to look at, we had already discussed about the days of Noah, in which we found that that's used in Scripture concerning things, especially God dealing in the areas of judgment. This is one of the things that he spoke about at the end there. He said about watching and praying. It's number one that when Kenneth Hagin himself, his ministry, God told, we had talked about this before, but his mother was told by Jesus before he was born. She had a vision. Jesus appeared to her. And in fact, it scared her to death. She was a Christian, but they didn't know very much spiritually. And she was quite shocked that she was walking from her home to her mother's home, and a cloud came down. She saw this cloud come down from heaven, and Jesus was standing on the cloud, and he told her, because she was still pregnant with Kenneth, and he spoke to her. One of the things he said is, his ministry was going to be to get, he had told her, he said her, his ministry was going to be concerned like John the Baptist. John the Baptist was preparing the way for the Lord. And he said in this end times, that's what he's going to be doing. To get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. That's its purpose. Now, one of the first things that Jesus told him to do after he became to develop in ministry was told him to teach the church faith. Is number one, without faith, you can't please God. A lot of the church world, really in his day and even today, know very little about faith. And we're talking about we want to please God, but people, you know, talk about faith, but really don't understand how it operates or what it does. And understanding those things, that was one of the things that Jesus did. But his job was to get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And that's really his ministry. God had him start a school because God wanted him to raise up other people to carry this message, to carry this thing. So he wasn't as a person as carrying this thing himself. And so that vision is still in the earth. It hasn't changed. You know, people came along, Kenneth Hagin died, and people thought, well, that era is over. Well, it couldn't be over. It's an impossibility. It's about the return of Jesus Christ. And most of the church world, even spirit-filled church world, really doesn't believe Jesus is coming back soon. It's more talk than it is anything. People have gotten used to saying certain things, and that's what it's become. It's just part of, yeah, well, Jesus is coming back. And, well, you just watch people. They're not preparing themselves for the return of Jesus Christ. Yet this prophecy was about getting ready to leave. And so, it's like myself, as the Lord dealt with me about this, one of my jobs is to get people ready. In other words, get Christians in fellowship with God so they're ready to meet Jesus. It's a hugely important thing. Like with our nation here, he talked about repentance. Now, what we're going to look at is one of the parts here, because if in this prophecy we want to find out was something that Kenneth Hagin was said in the, in this vision, the part that says, many of my people will not accept the moving of my spirit, will turn back and will not be ready to meet me at my coming. Many will be deceived by false prophets and miracles of satanic origin, but follow the word of God, the spirit of God in me, and you will not be deceived. I am gathering my own together and am preparing them, for the time is short. Now we're going to begin to look into this, but what the New Testament says, because the New Testament has a lot to say about deception in the end times. And as I've said before in teaching, we have today in the church world, the people get on either side of the thing. They're either on the side of, you know, and you have to watch this. You know, the Bible talks about deception in the last days, but you don't want to get over just on the negative side of it. And on the other side, there's the things that the scriptures talks about the glory of God. But you can get so over in that, you don't pay any attention. I found this. People get over on the glory side and always looking at it, always talking about it. You know, they're the easiest to deceive. They are the easiest people to deceive. They get themselves pushed over into that side, and they just think, you know, it's like today, anything that's miraculous. There's one minister, you know, that's on TV, and he's always got this prophet stuff, and he's really hooked on the prophet stuff. He accepts anything that is supernatural manifestation is God. And he accepts things at times, I know they're demonic. And he accepts them. People follow him like crazy. They love to see the supernatural can be a very neat thing, but you want to know who's doing it. Anything that's supernatural, we need to understand that is dealing with that when we get into these areas. People are so looking for something today. You know, we have, if you go on TV, I mean, there's all kind of stuff of programming, you know, now. I mean, people play with demons all the time. They're always messing around. They got all these shows on now where people haunted stuff. They're on. Everybody's doing all this stuff is all going on. People don't know what they're messing around with. And we even have people on there that are talking on those shows. I've watched already. They say they're Christians and even say they're born again. It's one, they have these brothers that are born again. And they're messing around with you, talking about, you know, as if grandma and grandpa are showing up and talking to people. I'm thinking, dear God, I mean, messed up. And see, people mess around with those things, and people need to understand this. You need to be very careful around those things because it's easy to end up possessed. When you're playing with those, this is not, we're dealing with that stuff, demon stuff, and are using it for entertainment. Today it's become entertainment. And it's even become Christian heretic. Christians bite the, over the years, I mean, personal involvement where I've been around big name ministers and demonic powers went into operation and they claimed it was God. They didn't know. And people thought, you know what? The people just follow after them and follow after them and follow after them. And they don't know when things are God or not. I know one man, big name minister, one of the biggest names in the United States. And people, man, he's got, man, the guy takes in hundreds of millions of dollars a year. I've seen him more do stuff, more stupid stuff that was, and yielded demonic stuff than a little bit. And, you know, anything, he's sort of anything supernatural happens. It's, there's God involved. And it's really ridiculous. I mean, I was in a service where he was at and a woman was operating under demonic powers. And I knew it. He got up and said, God told us she's supposed to lay hands on of us. And I said, adios, I'm out of this meeting. She ain't touching this boy. And I mean, they found out later on, yeah, this woman's operating under demonic powers. He never repented or anything. He'd just go to the next meeting and do the next thing. You know, it's whatever. You know, God said I'm supposed to do that. You know, it is, you know, you're pretty stupid if you're dumber than me. You're just getting downright fool. Because if I can tell, dear Lord, it can't be real hard to figure out. You need to understand that. You look in the scriptures of how God moved in miracles. Miracles were never done by God to show off or to draw attention to a person. Never. The miraculous always draws attention to God. Look at Jesus' ministry. Did Jesus do signs and stuff that just made him a big deal? He never did. Signs and wonders were done to deliver people, not to show off. Things that are done just to be big deal done. You know, the crossing of the Red Sea was for a purpose. It was to deliver the children of Israel. It wasn't a show off. Say, look how big I am. It was for a purpose. God always does everything with a purpose, never to show. When you see people that are just, things draw attention to them, I've learned that. When it starts drawing attention to people, I know wrong spirit's going on here. Wrong spirit. You know, I know they had, you know, they had started the thing down when, that the revival was going down in Florida. And after that thing got going for a long time, they opened the door to too many people they should have never opened door to. A ministry should have never. I knew this thing's going to go under. And they started things like people say their fillings turned to gold, you know, gold filling. They had their fillings and the fillings turned to gold. Well, nobody ever tested them. And it don't matter if they did. What was the purpose of that? I mean, how does that bless or help people? It don't. And I knew God, you know, if God told me he did, I'd tell him, say, is that all you got to do? Is all the people in this world that needs help and you're out turning fillings to gold? I mean, that's the best you can show up with? I mean, dear Lord, is that, you know, Jesus turned people's fillings to gold? Wasn't that exciting? Well, what for? The feather fillings were all right the way they are. See, they thought that was something really cool. You know, there's nothing cool about that. You get somebody sitting in the audience who's dying of some disease and God's messing around with people's, you know, feelings. I mean, is that God? Dear Lord. But everybody buys it. Well, it's supernatural. Well, the devil knows supernatural. I mean, before I got born again, I was involved in sorcery. I knew about the supernatural. You can get demons to do supernatural stuff. But they don't do what God does. You know, we never had healing services. You know, we never did that. You know, the devil heals. He does. He didn't at our place. If he does, we never saw it. You know, demonic people. Yeah, we're having healing services. Yeah, sure. They are. God does what he does to bless humanity. Look at the ministry of Jesus. Whatever Jesus did, it was to bless humanity. It was to do something good for someone. That's what he did. And that's what I always look for. You know, God, Jesus, you know, was anointed with the Holy Ghost power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and turning fillings to gold. I mean, But see, when the Bible's not taught, when people don't know the Bible, they haven't studied the Bible, they just, people are moved by what they see. They don't know the move of the Spirit of God. They can't listen to their own spirit. That night, you know, I was sitting in that meeting and that woman was there. I knew in my spirit. In my spirit, it just grieved me, and I didn't know why at first. She was doing stuff, and I didn't know what was going on, but I thought, it just grieved my spirit, whatever was going on through that lady. Well, then I found out what was going on through that lady. But, you know, they get something supernatural. And all these big-name ministers followed after all these. They all jumped right on the boat and just got right in on the thing. It's amazing. I mean, that woman probably fooled about at least 20 or 30 major big-name ministers. Didn't know. Don't ever think because somebody has a big name, they got good sense. Don't ever, you know, it's people today, they worship people. I mean, God can speak to you as clear as he could ever speak to them, and some of them, he can't even speak clear to them anymore. They're so full of themselves. But he can show you and reveal to you. You don't need to have them telling you all the time what's going on. You have the Holy Spirit too. You can know in you whether it's God or not. Hallelujah. What I was doing at that time was working and helping them in their parking lot stuff. So I was a parking lot guy and I knew more than a guy sitting in the pulpit. And I'm thinking, this is awful. You go to the meeting and these big name ministers are all up there and they don't know what's going on. I mean, it's horrible to think about. And this is why you listen in your spirit. You know, that's one of the things I always love with Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin always taught us concerning the manifestation of the Spirit. He said, you don't move just by what you see going on. It looks like it's supernatural. He said, the gifts of the Spirit are manifested to bless people. When it starts making men big deal, you can know it ain't God. God's blessing people. So you know by the whole thing what it is. Jesus, his own ministry, that Jesus was able to minister people, and constantly within the scripture, you see it says, and when he would do something, it said they would glorify the God of Israel. It didn't draw attention to him. It drew attention to his Father. See, we're supposed to draw attention to Jesus. That's what we're supposed to. He's supposed to be glorified in what's going on. What we do in his name. And today it's not. Men are doing it in their own name. They're doing it under their own things. And see, we gotta leave that. You know, I have no ambitions for popularity. I gave that up a long time ago. Cause I watch what has happened with popularity. I'm gonna tell you, when you get popular, you have to watch yourself because you're a prime target for deception. When everybody comes around patting you on the back saying, but you're doing great. Well, I'm gonna tell you, start looking for arrows in your back. Because the devil be shooting you as sure as you can. It's easy to get off into deception, and we don't want to do that. So we find there's deception going to come within the church is one of the things. Satanic miracles is one of them, as one of the signs. The Bible warns us of these things. So, you know, we need to sit down and judge and become judge. If you learn the scriptures, you can judge properly what's going on. When I was sitting at a meeting, I was watching this woman. She was doing things and she was drawing attention. Rod Parsley was up front preaching in the meeting. And I could tell, you know how Rod, he can preach. I mean, Rod Parsley, he can spit 20 rows. I mean, that boy, he can preach, but he was. And I was sitting there and in the service and I had come in, the service had already started because we were organized things outside and I had set up things with security and stuff. So I came in the meeting. And Rod was up front preaching, and I could tell something was going on. I knew Rod wasn't in the flow. And I didn't like Rod. I mean, Rod starts preaching, he really gets going. And I thought, what is going on? Then I saw there's this lady sitting down in the front, and these ushers keep bringing her towels, taking in these towels. What was going on is oil's flowing out of her hands. She's soaking towels with oils, not supernatural. But what was the purpose? There's one thing I see out there is listening to teaching. Brother Hagin had taught us, and you watch it. God doesn't anoint one person up on front and a person back here. He anoints to draw the attention away from what he anointed up there. And I was sitting here, I saw this going on, and I said to the guy that was beside me, because he was one of the other guys working, had been helping me out and stuff. And I said, I don't know what that lady's doing up there, but I said, it ain't God. And, Rod never really finished his sermon. He just sort of came to a place where he just stopped and just jumped off, because she was drawing all the attention. She was drawing all the attention. And when Rod sat down, this big name minister got up and said, God said she's supposed to lay hands on all of us. I said, yeah, I guess his God did. I don't know. But my God said, get out of here. But one of the things that happened there, she was sitting down there doing that, and it was like in me, I had, when I was a young Christian, I had a series of, I would listen to from Brother Hagin. On one series, he was talking about the move of God, how God moves and moves through gifts of the Spirit. And inside of me, it was like that recording came on. I could hear Brother Hagin's voice inside of me quoting right off, like just like it was a tape runoff from that thing about how the Spirit moves and never draws attention to a person. It always, and that just went, my spirit, just like that went on, and I could hear his voice inside of me. His voice, like that tape was playing. And it was a confirmation to me of what was going on up there, of why in the inside of me I was grieved about that. And so, you know, now I was in Rhema Bible Training Center at the time. I was in Bible school. And you know what? Brother Hagin tried to correct people on that, of what was going on in that meeting. But you know what? All the majority of the students, they wouldn't pay any attention to it because of these big name ministers. They wouldn't all miss it. They must be right. Most people are always going to follow the crowd. They're going to always follow the name. They're always going to follow wherever. I've learned that a long time ago. That's just the way it goes. People are more moved by what other people, big names, are doing than what the Bible says. They're more moved by that. And so, hallelujah. I've learned over the years, I'm moved by the Bible. I'm moved by the Word of God. That's what I'm going to stay moved by. That's just the best thing to do. So people can get moved by whatever they want. They can follow whatever they want. But follow the Word of God. That was one of the things that Jesus said. You follow the Word, you follow the Spirit. And he said, in me. You got to follow the Word first. And you follow the Word, you'll be okay. Last week we talked about the areas of hope and dealing with hope. Our hope is based in the fact of the return of Jesus Christ. And we found out within ourselves, we're supposed to have this groaning within ourselves of the return of Jesus Christ for the fulfillment of your redemption. Most Christians do not realize and do not know that their redemption isn't fulfilled. They think it is. You know, I got it all. No, you don't. You don't have it all. You don't have a complete redemption yet. You didn't get the full thing yet. They don't even know. It's because people don't study the Bible. You know, we have a lot of things that are taught and said. Now, we want to look at tonight, because dealing with areas, what do the scriptures say about things going on, what's happening? One of the things that we had looked at before in the areas in Luke, the 17th chapter, where the Lord had spoken, this is Jesus himself, had made mention about the last days, and he was speaking about his second coming in Luke. He had said about his second coming, and in his second coming at that time, in Luke 17, I'm just going to read from verse 26 down to 30. We have read these before, but he had made this mention again about Noah, but we can look at things in the last days, and it helps us to understand. And when we go on to look at scriptures that deal with the world and the church in the last days, we want to look at these things about what is going on. Because number one, if Jesus said many of his people are not going to be ready, they're going to get deceived. So I need to find out. I need to know what's happening. What's deceiving people? What is deceiving them? So I know. See, most people, you know, they've used the thing deceiving. Well, what's deceiving? They don't know. I don't have any idea. Well, you know, Jesus didn't say don't be deceived, and then never said anything about what, you know, he had the apostles say a lot of different things about what the deceptions would be things that would go on. Now, in verse 26, is this is Jesus saying, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man." Said they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. It says, "Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire, brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." And let's talk about his second advent when he comes. So in that time, the same kind of things are going to be going on in the events in those days. So we need to understand this. It isn't a matter that people can't be doing things. You know, everybody ain't going to be fasting the whole time before Jesus comes. People will be doing it. But what he's saying about this is people are totally focused on the natural, that things are going on. People today in the church world are mostly moved by the natural, of natural events that are going on. The Bible tells us about natural events concerning the end, things that we can see that point to the end, but you know things, and you'll know things really from specifics from your inner man, not from the outer man, not from what's going on in the outside. You got to listen on the inside, because there has always been certain kinds of events always going on. There's always been wars. There's always been all kinds of things going on. We see all these events as people just go on, it goes down through in life. Well, we haven't had Jesus. I mean, Jesus didn't say to me, you know, people shouldn't get married anymore. People shouldn't do this. In fact, that's one of the signs that people will come to toward the end. We're told about, there'll be these people rise up and say, "Don't get married." Tell people not to do it. See, people get over it. They got to get into extremes of things. People do. There's nothing a matter. He's not saying these events won't be taking place. I mean, we're going to come up, you know, start next week, and we're not going to eat anymore. Jesus is going to, we'll get to meet him real quick if we do that. But he's talking about, see, people are just, their preparations are all dealing with the natural. Their preparations in life, you know. It's finding out, what are you preparing for? What is your what's your number one priority about your future? What's your number one priority? Which do you spend the most time on, developing yourself spiritually or natural things? What you're looking for in ahead. You have to decide, you know, those things is what it is. From here we find people were totally focused on the natural. They didn't notice what was going on. They didn't, you know, these people got in the place. They didn't expect any, you know, you live like you want and there's not going to be any kind of things going to happen, you know. It's all going to be all right. People are told those things today. So they had them going on. Now, Peter said this in 2 Peter, which we'll read some of this later on in more of a greater context. But Peter talked about the thing in 2 Peter, the third chapter. Peter made a statement here in verses 3 and 4. And he made this statement. He said, knowing this first. He said that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own lust. Now, when he talks about, he's talking about the lust of the flesh. People who live in the lust of their flesh, scoffers. So that's 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. He said, and saying, this is what these people who are living by the flesh, they're going to say this. Where is the promise of his coming? Now, these people must be religiously taught. I mean, they must be along the line because of the fact they're talking about Jesus Christ and his return. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. See, these are people who are only physically aware. They're not spiritually aware. Today, right now, today in the church world, the average Christian is not spiritually aware. All they are is physically what's going on. I've heard people say this over the years. Well, they say, you know, we've always had this kinds of stuff happen. We've always had that. They say those things. They are not aware spiritually. They don't know on the inside. See, you're supposed to know things on the inside. You're supposed to know. And if you don't know, it's like I said, there's seasons to do everything. And if you don't know the season you're in, don't be surprised you're not going to be spiritually ready, because you're going to be doing the wrong planning and so on. You're going to be doing the wrong thing, be focused on the wrong things. You always want to have yourself on the inside knowing what's going on. That's the whole point of being born again, with the Holy Spirit in us, the witness in us. He's in us. God isn't doing things in the earth, hiding it from his people. He has never operated in that manner. You know, all through, I mean, just think, I mean, you sit down, look at your Bible, look at the prophets in the Old Testament, all the prophets. Sit down and read stuff, all the prophets. God always warned his people. Everything was going on. He always showed it. No disaster, no judgment ever fell on Israel that didn't have warning. There is no judgments that have fell on the United States that the United States hasn't been warned and ignored. There's no Christian who's gone through lots of rousy stuff and can't figure out what's happening. God hasn't been trying to get a hold of them. People ignore. People are not paying attention. People don't know why things happen or don't know why. They don't know if they've done wrong or they're doing right or they don't know. They walk around. Why? Because they're not spiritually aware. You got to become spiritually aware of what's going on, what's happening. Many people don't even know who their enemy is. They have no clue. They don't know if it's God or the devil. They have no clue. They don't know who's working for them or against them. They have no clue. All they know is stuff goes on and they don't like it. But they're unaware. And so we need to understand that. So, but understand God is always showing his people. He always did. He always did. If he did it for his people back yonder before they were born again, before you could get born again, before you could have the Spirit live in you, what would he be doing today? See, there's no reason for us not to be aware. There isn't a reason. That's why no Christian who is born again will stand before Jesus Christ and come up with a great excuse to get out of being spiritually stupid. They won't. People say, well, we weren't taught all this stuff in church. Oh, you didn't have a Bible. You didn't have the Holy Spirit. That's right. You didn't have any of this stuff. So you get to just, you get off scot-free. There you go. You just get off. No, it's not going to happen. You know, it's one thing for people, maybe certain areas and stuff they weren't taught, but people have a responsibility of their own. We all have the Holy Spirit in us. He'll guide us and lead us into the truth. So we want to follow along those lines. Now, we want to read here. Now, these are things that you have heard before. But see, we're building on these things about because of what is happening. What is going on out here? Are these things, why wouldn't God's people be ready? What deception is going to come along and throw people off? Well, one of the things we have here in 2 Timothy, we're going to look at in the third chapter. The Apostle Paul wrote this, and he made mention about this stuff. He said in verse 1 of 2 Timothy, the third chapter, says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." We're living more and more in perilous times. It's funny. I was listening on my MP3 player in my car. I was going to listen to some stuff. And anyhow, before I did, the radio was on and I just heard this guy talking. He was this announcer on there and he was talking from a show. And he said, "I have not seen," he said, "so many fearful people in my life." He said, here's a guy. This wasn't a Christian show. He said, "People in America are just afraid. They're so afraid of everything." He said, "I've never seen nothing like it in his life." You see, even people outside, people are noticing what's going on. And what amazes me is Christians don't notice what's going on. They don't know. He said, perilous times would come. Now, perilous means, you know, some translations talk about that being severe. They use the word there. Perilous, in other words, another term they use are dangerous. Aren't these dangerous days that we're in? You know, when people talk about safety and doing things, well, you know, we're in any more where people aren't safe anywhere. Naturally, people aren't safe. You know, today, the things that happen just out around, which, you know, before you would never thought things would happen, today they do. Well, it was one of the warnings. Now, there's obvious that we can see today because he says in verse 2, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Now, this is talking about people in the end times. Now, Jesus said before things got to the worst, the church was going to be leaving. But we can see this stuff is obvious today. I mean, this is mankind today. This is the way people are. People act in these manners. Now, there's also another group in this ones. Now, he says, and he's talking about, because it even falls into this group that he's talking about, these people or all this different stuff. Now, listen to what he says. These people having a form of godliness, but denying its power. You see, there's a lot of what is called the church world today that these people operate in. We have denominations and groups today that are open to any kind of perverted thing that you want, any kind of strange thing that you want. It's all okay. Everything's all right. You know, it's funny, there was a minister, a couple of years after I graduated from Raymond, that stuff, and I remember one time Wanda and I had gone back out to attend some meetings, and, they talked about this one minister was there. In fact, he was one of the proteges of Oral Roberts. He was very close to Oral Roberts and that stuff. He had graduated from ORU and was very close to him. And Oral Roberts used to have him speak at his meetings and stuff like that. And this guy started this. What happened? See, people today look at this grace stuff that's taught today. It's such a mess. Well, actually, that stuff started back yonder, back in the 90s. This stuff started, this grace, this sloppy grace stuff. Well, he started getting people into his church coming in, preaching this sloppy grace of, you know, God loves everybody and just, you know, you just do it every, oh, God loves you, you know, and it's all right and all this. He got into this stuff. And what eventually happened to him, well, he ended up getting kicked out of his church, his pastor. They kicked him out. And today, I have heard him by his own voice. He believes everybody goes to heaven. No, there's nobody. He has a so-called church. I don't understand what's a person, why somebody would give him an offering to do anything, because it don't matter how you live or don't matter what you do, you're going to heaven. Well, then why would we need a church? You just go live your life the way you want it. Everybody's going to heaven. He's arrived at that. How did he get that way? Deception. There is no such thing, and I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, found out it's true. There's never a deception that does not have truth in it. Anybody preaching a deception always has some truth in it. If it didn't have any truth in it, nobody'd buy it. People buy it. I don't care if somebody gives a script. Just think, Jesus was tempted by scripture, wasn't he? But that scripture was being used in the wrong manner. What happens is these people come along that are just dumb as a stick, spiritually, and don't know when scripture is not used properly. Oh, they hear a scripture and they think, well, the Bible was used. Wow. Well, it takes a lot more than that. It has to be used accurately. And what happens is deception comes along. People come along and deceive people. They come and give a part of a truth. And there's always something added to it. And that's the poison. That's the thing that gets you. I remember Randall Greer said this one time. He said about rat poison. He had asked a guy who was a chemist or something, and asked this guy about what's in rat poison. And the guy said, 98% of rat poison is inert. Wouldn't hurt you at all. He said, it's that 2% that kills you. He said, that's what kills the rat. Because see, 98% tastes good. Well, that's what the devil, will come and give you something that tastes real good, but he'll have that 2% that's going to kill you spiritually. That's what he does. And that's why you always want to be aware of what's going on. See, I've watched over the years where ministries start getting off, and it constantly, I've done this, I've talked to people about it, because they start getting hooked to it. Oh yeah, I know that this isn't right, but they got all this other good stuff. And I found out after a few years, they're as dead as that person is. I don't care how good the rest of it looks. There's poison you don't want to go to. But people are always, they're stupid. They like what they like. He said they have a form of godliness. There's a form out here. Right now, we have all kind of churches. They use the name of Jesus. They got their crosses. They got all their stuff. They have all their formality. But they deny the power. I mean, today, I'm amazed how much of the church world, they don't believe the power of the new birth. The new birth is don't mean nothing. All you got is forgiveness of sin. You got this forgiveness of sin. You have no power to live above it. The power of God's out the door. I mean, we haven't even Rhema churches, loads of them. Other things, they don't want the power of God anymore. They run around. They say, we teach the word. That's fine. But they don't want anything to do with the Spirit. Nothing to do with the Spirit. They don't have anything to do with this. If you don't want the power of God, you don't want me. Just like, and this happened. That's where the Lord dealt with me, in fact. See, I was praying about moves of the Spirit back numbers of years ago. This goes back into the 90s. And I'd been spending a lot of time about the move of the Spirit, praying. And the Lord spoke to me one day and talked to me. Now, this is a Rhema minister. It had a ministerial group, which I was a part of, and that stuff. And all these loads of the ministers that were in this group were from Rhema ministers and that stuff. And the Lord speaks to me and says, if you stay with them, you're not going to end up where you want to be. Well, you see, I saw things that were starting to go on. I saw them. They were slowly moving away from the things of the Spirit. They were getting more psychological, more over into the areas. They're always trying to figure out ways how you can grow your church. No minister's called to grow his church. He's called to grow the kingdom of God. That's what we grow. We grow the kingdom. Numbers may not be growing the kingdom at all. Jesus was lousy at what he did. Jesus would not be invited to churches today and speak. He definitely didn't have enough followers. People love followers. They love people to follow them. Our job is to get people to follow Jesus. I don't care how big your crowd is. If you can't get them to follow Jesus, you ain't got a church. You ain't got one. And you know what? I found out these guys didn't have churches. He said, claimed to have 3,000 members. I'm going to tell you, he might have had 7 that knew Jesus. And that's about it. Because they tried to kill everybody they could in the place to follow after their vision. They had a vision. Wasn't God's. But when, you know, that really just grabbed my heart when that happened. When the Lord spoke to me, I'm praying in a direction, you know, and I'm thinking, who am I? And God says, you're not going to end up where you want to be if you follow them. And see, they've moved more and more away from the things of the Spirit over the years. I've watched, they're further and further away. And you know what people say? It's really a good church. But you know what? Over the years I've had this, people that knew God said, I don't understand people there don't realize how dead that church is. Even leaders, even we call leaders in the charismatic movement, don't know that that's a dead church. They don't even know. They can't tell anymore. They've gotten tied into things. They've gotten deceived into things where they're not hearing God anymore. They're looking at all the stuff they got, nice buildings and nice stuff. But they don't even notice if Jesus is there or not. The Holy Ghost, they don't know the Holy Ghost well enough to know that if he's in it. You know, I'm not a rocket scientist, but this one thing I can tell you. I know when the Holy Ghost is in something or it's not. I know when he's working in me and when he's not. That's how I learned to find that stuff out. Because too many people live and die and don't even know if he's working in them, much less anything else. You want to know if he's working in you. I need him working in me. I can't afford him not to be. Hallelujah. But what does it tell us? They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. Now, we have a lot of the church world today. I mean, they just deny the power of God. They just have religious stuff going on. What does it say? Join up with them and try to work in unity. Jesus told me, basically, when he told me to leave there, he said, you're not going to where you want to be. He said, you have to come out from among them. Now, see, I wanted to be in the position that I'm in today. If I would have disobeyed that, I would not have been. Whoever you tie yourself to, you're going to end up being like. I've watched this over the years. Back in the charismatic renewal days when stuff was going on, people from all different denominations and stuff were getting filled with the Holy Ghost. There was any denomination, people were getting full of the Holy Ghost. God was moving. Stuff was happening. And I remember Kenneth Hagin made this statement. I was a young Christian then, but I saw, man, God was moving in every group of people there were. You know, anybody's hungry for God, God just showed up on the scene. So all kind of wonderful things are happening. But Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, I don't understand this, how somebody could go get filled with the Holy Ghost and then just go back to a dead church. He said, I never understood that. Well, I began to watch over time. See, I didn't know about it all, know what I know now, but I started to watch. And I watched over the years. I watched what happened to people who went back to their dead church. And today, they're as dead as they were when they came to those meetings and didn't know God, didn't know what was going on. And they're that dead today. You're going to be what you hang around. You can't stay spiritual hanging around people who are dead spiritually. You can't stay. Now, I'm not, you know, there's people out here that don't, sometimes that don't know a whole lot, but they're walking in the best they know. I would much rather hang out with them than hang out with what looks so good over here. And see, people don't recognize, they don't recognize what's hurting them or what'll help them. They don't recognize it. They don't know them. There's one thing as I learned this about God. You want to learn to listen to your spirit? Because God is always trying to protect you. God's always trying. If you aren't getting protected, something's wrong with you. Don't blame God. Don't blame other people. God is in the business. I've learned it. I've learned to not pay attention and paid the price. I've learned to listen. I found out the listening is much better. That's the much better side of it. I've learned. But God is always protecting his people. Always protecting his people. And so you have to learn to listen, pay attention around you. Things that are going on around that will harm you, harm your families. Pay attention to it. Don't override it because things look good or people look good. I don't care what somebody looks like. I've been around over the years. I've been around people. I know in ministries I've been around where they've talked about, oh, a certain person was really something great. And inside me was like, something's wrong here. I didn't know what it was. Something's the matter. And they're all praising this person. Boy, this is the next best thing to sliced bread. Sometimes it takes a long time. In one instant, it took almost a couple years. And then we found out, man, this guy was more trouble than cancer. And everybody had followed off after. They all followed off after. I just knew from there was something wrong. I learned that from Kenneth Hagin. He had said, you got to follow peace. I didn't have peace about that guy. I didn't have peace. But see, people will overlook that because of what looks, oh, his ministry is really something else. People just look at what you see and they judge by the eye. They judge by the eye. You can't do that. You can't judge by the eye. You gotta listen. I mean, this guy's been for years. He's had been messing with me. Literally, this guy had messed with hundreds of different women. Had literally. He's running around, he's a, you know, ain't nothing but a whormonger, what the old boy is. He'd run around with everything he'd get his hands on. He says all kind of other stuff was going on. Nobody noticed. And you know what? From the time that I was a young Christian, and I've watched this over the years, Kenneth Hagin made this statement. He talked about it because he had a lot more experience than me, especially starting off. I'd listen to what he said. He said, I found this over the years. He said, when deception starts getting taught in the churches, he said, I found out this happened. He said, many times baby Christians caught it before the deception, before the ones that were supposed to be spiritual. They noticed something was wrong. You know why? Do you know? I'll tell you why. Because Christians get over and start learning something about the Bible and they become intellectual. They're smart. I ain't very smart. I'm doing good. There's a difference between spiritual and intellectual. And you better learn that. I've known lots of people that people think intellectually they don't know as much and they are 100 times more spiritual than the person that thinks that they don't know as much. Because what they know spiritually. The other person don't. The person operates out of their intellect. Don't ever go by that intellect. Don't matter how bright you think you are. You can't know things. You can't know and judge things about people from what's on the outside. I've run into people on the outside and you think, man, that's messed up. Find out God's in it. God's moving through them. You can't judge it. You gotta know on the inside. You can't run around judging by the outside. You'll get deceived. Now remember, this prophecy that we're talking about America. We're the great bright society. That's our problem. Our great bright society. It is so bright intellectually, it can't see anything spiritually. It is blinded by its brightness. how smart it is. The Bible is not reasoned. It's revealed. It's not reasoned. It's revealed. I know this for myself of studying the Bible. When I first started as I was a Christian, I would sometimes sit down with certain things I wanted to learn, and I would sort of just push and found out that I was doing this intellectually. I'd get ideas about things. Then all of a sudden one day God gave me a revelation, and I find out, boy, I was surely on the wrong track. Trying to reason. I don't try. When I come up and God's not revealing, I've learned this over time. I don't push past what God's trying to reveal. I don't go past that. I don't sit down and just trying to figure this thing out myself. You leave it on the inside. Especially if you want to learn things, let the Holy Spirit guide you in the Bible. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in the Bible. Let Him start to reveal things to you. We want to rush. We want to find out. You know, we want to grow up real fast. You want to grow up fast? Listen to the Holy Ghost. If you can't listen to the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to grow up fast. It's an impossibility. You're not going to do it. You're going to do it intellectually and end up being a mess and drag a whole bunch of other people along with you. We got enough intellects out here. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I have the intellect He lives in me. The intellect's inside of me. That's the intellect. He's the guy that's really smart. And just recognize that fact. See, we have the mind of God. He's in us. It's the Holy Ghost. You know, I don't have to be a genius. All I got to do is listen to the genius. Hallelujah. Be careful what you tie yourself to. See, this thing's today when people are trying to join together with jumping in with ministries and other groups and that kind of stuff. Right now in Europe, it's a big thing where the church groups are starting to come together. That's part of the end times. They will. That's going to be part of the church, which is called the harlot in the book of Revelation. It's all coming together. All of them are going to get together, and they're going to come up with their own kind of belief of what they think God is and that kind of stuff. And they are going to help to bring the Antichrist into power. We have loads of churches in America, and even spirit-filled ministers, so-called, are in bed with this stuff. And they call it unity. We're trying to bring unity of the faith. Unity of the faith is brought by the Spirit, not by men. Not by organs. It's not me getting along with the guy. Look, I ain't going to fight these people. I ain't going to go to war with these people. But I'm sorry. We ain't going to be, we have no fellowship together. They don't fellowship with Jesus. It says, from such people, turn away. So it warns us. Why? Because if you get hooked up with this stuff, you'll end up in the same deception they are in. See, well, how they ended up with their beliefs? Well, you're going to, if you hang around with them, what are you going to get to? You're going to get their beliefs. What you hang around with, that's the beliefs you're going to end up with. And so it's really important. I've learned that a long time ago. That's one of the things when the Lord told me to leave that group. I said, Lord, because you need people to hang around to fellowship. You need people to help strengthen you. You need to have people around you that know more in some areas than you do. Now, there's areas I might know more than some, but you don't know all the areas. If somebody has revelation others. You need to be able to be around people like that. And that's when I began to pray to the Lord for a leader. Because, see, when you find a leader, you'll find a group. See, people always want to be their own little leader, and I'm just me and Jesus. Those are the people I stay away from. From such, turn away. From such, turn away. From such, turn away. Them and Jesus, I know, they're already in error. We don't need the rest of the body. Just me and Jesus. They didn't know Jesus didn't know that. He didn't think He was going to be just Him and you, and that's it. Now in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, we're going to read here some more things. We find, and these are doctrinal things that we have, but they're really important. These are things that help us stay away from deception in the end times. These will help you and me, and I've learned these over the years, things that help us. See, because we're finding out by these things that many of God's people won't be ready. Because, see, they'll fall into deception, because the last time, deception is going to be a great thing. If you haven't noticed it in America, the deception going on, it's phenomenal. Well, in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter and verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And you know that word doctrine, like a lot of people, I remember when I first came into the kingdom, There's a lot of charismatics. They didn't like the word doctrine. You know, they were, you know, we're free now, but they didn't, you're not free from sound teaching. The Bible has doctrine. And doctrine is teaching that is laws and rules and regulations that God's word puts out. You need to know you need to have a doctrinal basis in your life. Because if you don't, you're going to be an easy target for deception. The Bible teaches doctrines. Jesus laid out doctrine. We understand that Jesus in his parable laid out how the kingdom operates. He's laying down things that are how things work. And you need to understand those things. Now, it says they won't have sound, but it says according to their own desire, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, the Bible in basic English, I like what it says. I'm going to read that scripture from the Bible in basic English. It says, for the time will come when they will not take the true teaching, but moved by their desires, they will get for themselves a great number of teachers for the pleasure of hearing them. And shutting their ears to what is true will be turned away to believe in foolish stories. Boy, there's a lot of that today going on. People are, this is what I want to hear. You know, this is a really fun thing. Never in my Christian walk did God ever allow me to pick the church I wanted to go to. You know, it used to turn my stomach, and it still does to this day when I hear people, you go find a good church. What, are you God? You don't need to listen to the Holy Ghost? You go find a good, you don't go find a good church. You let God lead you to what you're supposed to be doing. You know, understand this. You need to know where you belong. Not just because something's good. It may be nothing wrong with it, but that ain't where you're supposed to be. You need to find out where you belong. Where do you belong? Where's God called you to? Where's God placed you at? You want to know those things. If you don't know, you can't walk by faith in it. God didn't ever just allow me to pick and choose. He would tell me what he wanted me to do. And you know what? I mean, when it came along, I remember when Wanda and I dealing with this one church, the worst church he sent us to. I mean, if we would have been picking, I would have definitely said no. That would have been high on the list of no churches. But you know what? God put me in that church to learn. And you know what? I had to learn why. You've got to come to a place in life you learn through the hard things. If church is just some easy place for you to go to, you probably ain't learned a thing yet. My job ain't to be your buddy. Training requires you to go through some hardship. You're going to have to go through some. You're going to have to push through stuff. That's what learning goes with. You don't learn. If everything's easy, you don't learn nothing. It requires something. It really required me because God sent me in among people who had born again for numbers of years. I'm a young Christian and I'm sitting with these people and they're dumb as a stick spiritually. Yet they had been born again and spirit filled, some of them for 30 years, but were just, they knew spiritually didn't know hardly a thing. And I'm looking, we're doing what I'm doing. I'm looking for a place where I could go sit down and, you know, somebody teach me. That's what I want to do. And I realized this ain't going to be happening here. And did he even put me here? If God would not have moved so supernaturally, and that's what he did. He moved so supernaturally. Wanda came home. She walked the girls home from school one night. They were in the elementary school up from us where we live, walking them down through. She said, there's a church opening up in a social hall up here. They're having church in there. And she went and wrote the number down and the pastor's name and the number down on the thing. She come home with me and, you know, cause see, I had already been through this with God. Every time I wanted to go to a church, he'd say, no, not that one. No, not that one. Say, I got just over here. I think it would be pretty good. I said, no, not that one. We tried one Sunday. I tried to do it. Try to go to this one church that says good. I'll never forget. We drove in the parking lot. I drove in the parking lot and the Lord said to me, he said, you know, you ain't supposed to be here. And he said, if you go here, he said, you're never going to fulfill my plan for your life. I just drove right around the parking lot. I said, we can't go here. We can't go here. But you know what? God was speaking. Now God was protecting me as a young Christian. God was protecting me. And see, you got to learn to listen to things. Now, see, one of the things that I'd spend a lot of time in prayer. I'd spend loads of time in prayer. And then, you know, I got sensitive in my spirit. I got sensitive in my, and God would talk to me. Well, you know, Wanda come home and she said about this, just church is opening up here, and the pastor's name and the number. She has it written down. So she tells me, we're at the table eating, having supper that night, and she tells me, you know, first thought comes to my mind, oh, God ain't gonna let us go there anyhow. I just have to think. Inside of me, all of a sudden, the Lord spoke and said, I want you to call that pastor. And I just, he said, I want you to call that pastor. So inside of me, I was like, okay, I will. I went back to eat. I'll never forget. I mean, all of a sudden this voice rose up inside me. He said, I told you to call that. I said, July, I'm going to call this guy. I'm going to do it now. And I called him. And when I started talking to him, I knew who the guy was and stuff. But anyhow, I just knew that we were supposed to go there. But you know what? I understood this. If it would not have been done so supernaturally, I would have never stayed. You know, see, sometimes supernatural things aren't because you're so darn spiritual. It's because you're not. You need something. You need something more to keep you where you're supposed to be. Because I tell you, after I got there, I wanted to leave. I wanted to adios amigos out of town. But you know what I learned there? I learned to stand in tough times. I learned to stand and walk by faith when things aren't easy. That's what I learned. I learned how to stand in front of people and teach that didn't want to hear your teaching. Who said they loved the Bible till they heard it. But it didn't fit their religious teaching. I learned how to not just ignore it. It don't matter what they're saying. I'm going to preach the word whether they like me or not, whether they care for me or not. We're just going to do what's right. We're going to continue on what's right. You know what? And there's always a remnant, though, that will like it. There's a remnant that will always take it. But see, you get people, well, how they get haughty. They've been a Christian for a long time. They know. We're all smart. We know. See, I've been around for a while. I'm really smart. I know a lot. I'm really smart because I've been around a while. That's a good sign you're an idiot. You've arrived at that place. You think you've been around a while that you're smarter than them. That don't mean you know anything. You might be dumber than everybody else. You just got it. You got to come around that spot it out. You got to keep yourself always a plane. I need to be taught. I need to understand. And if I know anything, it's only because that God gave it to me. That's it. I didn't figure none of this out. If it wouldn't be for Jesus Christ and Him getting me the Holy Ghost, you know, you'd just be as dumb as a stick. That's what you'd be. The only reason we know anything is because God. And you got to keep yourself in that place. Because you become unteachable and you'll start operating out of your own mind and deception will come easily. Deception comes easily. The devil will come and pat you on the back and tell you how wonderful you are, how great you are, what a genius you are. And people ought to look to you. Boy, they need you. When you start hearing those words, you know that you've done been deceived. Don't ever buy that stuff. Hallelujah. What people need is God. They need the Holy Ghost in them. They need to listen to God. There's no man that knows everything, but there's one in you who does. There's one who can guide and lead you, and He'll protect you and take care of you. And you don't have to go off to some kind of wild teaching somewhere and everything. You know, there is no fairy tale land right now in this world. There's not one to be had. We're going to go to that fairy tale land. We're going to that place. But right now, I'm going to tell you, we're living in a place of trouble. Before things get to the worst, we're going to get taken. Not before it becomes fairy tale land. It ain't going to happen. And we need to know this is a place. Deception is running wild. The devil wants to take your life. He wants to destroy you and your families. He wants to mess everything up that he can. You need the Holy Spirit. You need desperately the Holy Spirit. You need him to be able to guide you and talk to you. He needs to be able to take the word, reveal it to you. You have to have that. No man can take that place. Thank God he anoints people to teach. I thank God everything I learned from Kenneth Hagin, but it was because of the Holy Ghost. If it wouldn't have been with the Holy Ghost, that wouldn't have worked. And so we need to understand that. It's always the work of the Spirit. And so stay in line with that, the work of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, we're running to the end of it. We're going to be pick up more because there's more scriptures that we're going to look at in these things about the end times. And see, we're down in this place. We've arrived down here in the areas where we're seeing all these things happening and people, we're seeing these things of what the latter times are going to be like around us. Now, don't get on the negative side and get fearful. Don't get afraid. As many as are led by the Spirit, there's the sons of God. The Word, God has to fulfill His Word for us. He has to do what His Word says. There's one thing, as we talk about these, and these are no more than warnings for us to stay away from deception. You know, don't gulp things right away because just they sound good or they sound bad or whatever they are. Don't do that. Judge things. Let the Holy Ghost inside of you do His work in you, revealing things to you. You know, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, and it really has served me well over the years. He always said, follow peace. And he's talking about on the inside, not on the outside. You can't follow peace on the outside. Dear Lord, one day it looks like peace, and tomorrow, the next day, everything in the world blows up. It don't matter. But on the inside, follow peace. I've learned this. If I come up on something, and somehow it just don't set right with me, I learn just to hold back from it. Just, I don't go along. I don't care if everybody else goes along. I've learned it over the years. I've watched people all jump on the same boat to go to do the same stuff. And they all, yeah, this is God, this is a move of God, but inside of me. And I've been criticized by people for not jumping on board. You know, well, you know, you just need to learn to cooperate with other people. You just need to learn, yeah, you need to get in sin like we are. You need to disobey the Holy Ghost just like we do. Come on, jump. You know what? I will never push a person. Anybody that's trying to push you to something you're not sure about, they're operating under demonic spirits. Only the devil does that kind of stuff. The devil does that. God ain't nervous if you question Him or you wonder about something or you're not sure about something. It don't make Him nervous. If it would, then we could say this, that God is a lousy teacher. Would you go to a school and you had questions? Well, you're not allowed to ask any questions. You just got to obey what I say and just do it. But I don't understand it. Who cares if you don't understand it or not? I've had teaching already that I've gotten. And I tell you what, it just didn't settle with me, but I realized, found out later. It's because certain things I didn't know. What they said was correct, but there's certain things I didn't know. But when I learned some other things, I saw, you know, they were right about that. But you know what? I didn't swallow that they were right about it till I knew they were right about it. I wasn't being disobedient. I was being smart. That's not disobedience. There's some things sometimes you're not going to grab. You're going to, that you, cause you haven't, they're going to think you're going to hear things said and things, but you, there's other parts that you don't know. And so that don't add up to you. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not being weird. God will show you what you need to know. If you need to know that, you know, just don't, you know, I've just learned you don't swallow because it sounds good or don't sound good. You don't learn to swallow, you know, don't pick up the bugs and eat them. Don't do it. I'll tell you. Hallelujah. You know, it's like you say, be as smart as an old cow, eat the hay and leave the sticks. You know, too many Christians are stick eaters. That's all they do is they run around eating sticks all the time. And, you know, they like things that are said. And over the years, I've heard many things taught and said that things were taken out of context and everything that were being taught. But I watch people because people like what it says. They want to believe that it is that way. Don't be like that. I'm interested in one thing. It's truth. Because it's the truth that makes you free. It's the truth that'll bless your life. Even though you hear things that really sound nice, but if they're not true, they're not going to produce for you what you want. And if you walk in their belief, that thing may rob you of something. So you always want to find out what the truth is. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You. Father, I am so grateful of Your great love for us and the fact that You sent us the Holy Spirit. And Lord God, we love and treasure Your Word. Lord, our heart is turned towards Your Word because that's what You gave us. Lord God, it's through the Word that the Holy Spirit reveals our Master Jesus to us. And we wouldn't know Him had He not been revealed to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we just want to say thank You, Father. Father, for Your great love. I am so glad when Jesus told His disciples, I'm going to go, but I ain't going to leave you alone. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank You because we're never alone. I want to thank You because the great teachers in each one of us here tonight. He's not partial to just certain ones. Hallelujah. He's the same in everyone. Hallelujah. He's in us, directing us. He is interested in our protection and our wisdom and our understanding. And I thank you that he's working mightily tonight. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you that we have the great Holy Spirit that we can lean on. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, Lord, there's many things that we run into. And Lord God, even to this day, I still keep running into things. Man, I need someone to lean on. And I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, you're always there. I can count on always. One who will bring wisdom to me, who will bring understanding. One who will bring comfort to me in times of trouble. The one who will always stand by me, hallelujah, no matter what's going on. And even when I've missed it, he'll help pick me back up again. I thank you, Lord God, for the great Holy Spirit. Lord God, I thank you that he's in us and he's working mightily. He's just like the Father God. He never sleeps or slumbers, and the Holy Spirit never sleeps or slumbers. He's always at work in us. He's always helping us. Holy Spirit, there's much that we don't understand and we don't know. We thank you, Lord, for all that has been revealed to us. I thank you for all that I have learned. But Holy Spirit, we sure need greater understanding. We need greater wisdom in these days and these times. Holy Spirit, there's a lot. As Paul said, even himself, he says, we look through a glass darkly. Lord God, there's a lot we'd like to see a whole lot clearer. And I believe in these days there needs to be greater light in certain areas. And you spoke to me that you were going to bring light on certain areas, hallelujah, that man hasn't known. And I want to thank you, Lord. We're going to rely on you in these days and times of the things that we're going to need, because these days no man has ever faced before. We have never faced the coming of Jesus Christ for the church. No generation's ever had that. Hallelujah. But we're sitting at this time and we want to know to do whatever it is that we need to do in this day and age to fulfill his plans and purposes. Hallelujah. So when we meet him, we'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, you will reveal to us what we need to know. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.